Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to our Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church. Pastor John McIntosh and I thank you for joining us today and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. And if you like what you hear, please invite your loved ones to tune in as well. Due to the coronavirus, our church continues to meet every Sunday by way of teleconferencing. Please join us every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 3:30 p.m. via freeconference.com. Our call-in number is 605-313-4834, and the access code is 997-020-pound. You may also obtain this call-in information on our website at kccfc.net. One more important announcement. I'm happy to advise that on September 2nd, 2021, my book titled Prayers That Reach the Throne of God was released for sale. You may purchase my book on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or visit our website at kccfc.net. This God-inspired teaching on prayer will give you the understanding on how to pray effectively against Satan and his demonic assignments. Now, the next voice you hear will be that of Pastor John McIntosh.
Good morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege and the honor to gather around your word. It is our sincere desire to know you more personally so we may serve you more faithfully. I pray for everyone in the sound of my voice that their ears are open to hear and their hearts to receive the uncompromising word of God. We honor the best gifts of the Holy Spirit to be in operation during this broadcast, especially the gifts of healing. Satan, we rebuke you and render your powers null and void, and you cannot stop anyone from receiving what they came for today. This we ask and covenant with you, Holy Father. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Shalom and amen. Well, we're back together, and our teaching is the meaning and the importance of faith. That's the meaning and the importance of faith. Now, if you have your Bibles, let's open them to our foundational scripture we have been using for this particular teaching, found in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Amen. So our Heavenly Father, in his word, is looking for people that are persistently, seriously, and vigorously seeking after him. Now, our last time together, we established that faith is time-based and that time is always present tense. But before we start our teaching for today, I want to clear up something that I said last week when I was explaining our needs being met. Do you remember? Let me preface this by saying I was explaining that your confession or what you say has to line up with what God says. I went back and reread that part of my message. So let me make myself very clear so everyone can understand what I meant. I said you have to say what God says. If God's word is to produce results in your circumstances, to be in faith, you have to agree with God. You cannot say you know God is going to do. But we know God is always doing something, whether you recognize it or not. But is that statement a statement of faith that God is going to do? Let's look at a particular verse. Let's go to Philippians 4:19. 4:19, for instance. It says, "For my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. This verse is a statement of what God is going to do in the future, is it not? Now, what you have to say regarding this scripture is, praise God, I believe that all my needs are met. Now, that becomes a confession of faith and lines up with that scripture. That is what activates God's power on your behalf. His word and your confession lined up together with his word. Amen. That confession, I believe my needs are met, is present tense. It did not say not were met, which is past tense, or not going to be met, which is future tense. You believe that all your needs are met because God said it in his word. And all my God shall supply all my needs. Amen. Now, do you understand? Now, you might think or say that that doesn't make sense. And you are absolutely correct. It does not make sense. Because it is not sense. It is faith. Faith is faith. And sense is sense. And birds are birds. And cars are cars. Birds are not cars. And cars are not birds. And sense is not faith. And faith is not sense. So, you are absolutely right. It does not make sense. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It does not say, now sense is the substance of things hoped for. It says, faith is. The two words are spelled differently, and they have different meanings. Now, the second thing we want to learn about faith in Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now, we need a definition so we can be in agreement. So what is substance? What is substance? Most people would say tangibility, materiality, assurance, or guarantee. Now, all those meanings are good, but let me suggest a different definition and see if you can agree with it. Substance is that which occupies space and can be perceived by the senses. Let me repeat that. Substance is that which occupies space and can be perceived by the senses. It is something that you can see, something you can smell, something you can taste, something you can touch, and something you can hear. So you can say it like this. Faith is the substance, the materiality, the tangibility of things hoped for. It also tells us something about hope that is very important. Hope by itself has no substance. Hope by itself has no substance. There is nothing about hope that you can see, that you can smell, that you can taste, that you can hear, or that you can touch. Because if you could see, if you could smell, if you could taste, if you can touch or hear hope, then you would not need any faith. So faith must be something in order for it to be the substance of things that are hoped for. When you add faith to your hope, then you give your hope substance, materiality, and tangibility. Something that you can eventually see, eventually smell, eventually taste, eventually hear, and eventually touch. What hope is the goal setter. Hope sets the goal, but faith goes and gets it. Did you get that? Hope is the goal setter. Hope sets the goal, but faith goes and get it. Now, we all must have hope. You cannot live without hope. But if you do not have some way to reach for your hope, then your hope will never have anything that you can ever see, that you can ever smell, that you can ever taste, that you can ever hear, that you can ever touch. And that is important. Here is what hope will do. Number one, hope sets the goal. And number two, hope will keep you alive. Let me repeat that. Here are the two things that hope will do. Number one, hope sets the goal. And number two, hope will keep you alive. What hope does is affect your attitude about the circumstances, but faith will change the circumstances. Did you get that? Hope will affect your attitude about the circumstances, but faith will change the circumstances. That is the difference, and it is a major difference. Unfortunately, for many Christians, they are hoping. They are confessing, well, I hope God is going to heal me. Well, let's go to something right now. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9. And let's see what this lady says about faith. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9, and we're going to read verse 20 to 22. And I'll be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. So if you found Matthew chapter 9, and then we're going to read verse number 20 to 22. All right, you ready? So let's read. And so it says here in Matthew 9 and 20, it says, "And suddenly a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years came from behind and touched the hem of his garment. For she said to herself, 'If only I may touch his garment, I shall be made whole.' But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said to her, 'Be of good cheer, daughter. Your faith has made you well.'" He didn't say your hope. No, he said your faith has made you well. This lady was not hoping that God would make her well. She heard about Jesus. She believed what she heard, and she acted on what she believed. God is not going to heal you. You may recover depending on the severity of your condition or if you have a good doctor or surgeon. But if you're saying, "I'm hoping God is going to do that," just forget it. It will never happen, because that is not faith. Remember, Romans 1:17 said, "The just shall live by faith." So we are mandated by the word of God to live by faith. But let me say it this way. God has no legal obligation by his word to heal you, because that is not faith. God is a faith God. Amen. Hope is like a dream. Now, I am sure you all have had dreams one time or another. Your dream at the time you were dreaming was more real than reality. In fact, you thought it was reality, and your spouse even told you after you woke up how you were acting when you were dreaming, making noise, different sounds and movements. Those dreams can come in all kinds of illusions and dimensions. I have had dreams where I was being confronted by an unknown spirit being, and I was fighting with them, and I began swinging at them involuntarily moments while I was asleep. And I would accidentally hit my wife, Dr. Michelle, and she would wake me up from my dream, telling me, quit hitting me, honey. And I said, well, I'm not hitting you. She says, yes, you have. But I was dreaming. But at the time, that particular dream was more real to me than reality. Or other times where I would be speaking with the person in my dream, and again, Dr. Michelle would wake me up and ask me, who am I speaking with? And I said, no one. And she said, yes, you are, because I heard you speaking. Those dreams were so real at that time. And just as I was about to reach out and realize the fulfillment of my dream, just about the time it was getting ready to come into focus, into manifestation, suddenly I was awakened. I tried to go back to my dream, but poof, my dream was gone. Has that ever happened to you? It's happened to me on several occasions. The reason that the dream went poof was because dreams have no substance. And that is exactly what hope is. If you do not have any faith to go with your hope is like a dream. It will never, ever come to pass. It will keep you alive, and it will allow you to smile. It will give you a good attitude, but it will never change your circumstances. And we as Christians are looking at change for the better in your life. Amen? But if you take your faith and add it to your hope, you will keep the ship afloat and not end up shipwrecked. The third thing you need to know is faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Again, faith is the evidence of things not seen. That's correct. That's not seen. Now, what is evidence? The best definition is proof. The best definition for evidence is proof. It's saying that faith is the evidence. So what is this proof? Or what is this evidence? So the best definition would be proof. So evidence or proof is something valuable or visible or evident that gives ground for believing in the existence or presence of something else. Can we agree upon that? Now, let me say it another way. Evidence or proof takes the place of the thing that is the evidence or proof of until the thing arrives on the scene. Did you get that? Let me repeat that again. Evidence or proof takes the place of the thing that is the evidence or proof of until the thing arrives on the scene. Once it arrives on the scene, you do not need any more evidence or proof. You have it in reality. Amen? Now, I want you to think with me for a moment, because I am going to illustrate proof and evidence. Now, I want you to think as I give you this scenario. Let's say you were out on an archaeological exposition with Dr. Dye, who happens to be one of Dr. Michelle and myself's professor and mentor. He is a biblical archaeologist, and he's been all over the world digging up artifacts for his museum and for his personal research. And your purpose is to find dinosaur bones. The team has been informed that there is a certain area that is abounding in fossil remains, and you are participating, interesting in finding the fossils remains are the bones of a Tyrannosaurus rex. Everyone in your exposition party has a pickaxe, and you guys dig in this particular area. After some time, someone puts his axe into the ground, and you hear a thud sound. It's not dirt, and you hit something solid. He puts his pickaxe down, takes some smaller tube and a little brush, and very gingerly begin to start moving the dirt. He takes his flashlight and looks in the hole and sees something off-white. It looks like bone. Everyone in the exposition party converges on that particular spot on the mountainside and begin to very gingerly take the dirt away. Finally, embedded in the side of the mountain, you see the skeleton remains of a Tyrannosaurus rex. This is one of the finest specimens you have ever found. A beautiful skeleton, totally intact, is a Tyrannosaurus rex. You are all excited about it and anticipate other findings. What do we have here? You have proof or evidence of the existence of a Tyrannosaurus rex, do you not? But do you not have a Tyrannosaurus rex? You only have proof of a Tyrannosaurus rex existence. You don't have it in person, but you have the bones. You have some proof or some evidence that a Tyrannosaurus rex existed. Now, while you are standing there admiring your find of these bones, suddenly the ground begins to shake. Then you hear the huge footsteps coming up over the hill. And you look up, and it's a Tyrannosaurus rex. We do not need any more evidence or proof. We have Tyrannosaurus rex. The bones are evidence proof that took the place of the dinosaur until the dinosaur arrived. Therefore, proof or evidence is temporary until such time as what the proof or evidence is comes or arrives on the scene. Again, I say, faith is the evidence or proof of things. Faith itself is the proof. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Can you see that? Can you understand what I'm saying? What is the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear or see the word seen? S-E-E-N. What is one of the first things that might come to your mind? Would you say eyes or eyesight? Can you agree with that? Eyes have to do with visual perception, what you see through your eye gates. Eyes are our receptors or sensory mechanisms that are part of our anatomy, which feeds information into our brain visually. Can you see that? Or can you agree with that? Now think with me for a moment. I submit that the word seen is not referring to eyes. There is a deeper spiritual meaning than eyes. If you limit it to eyes or visual perception, then you are cheating yourselves out of 4/5 of your body's ability to feed information to you about the universe around you. There are some things that you can see, but you cannot hear. There are some things that you can hear, but that you cannot taste. And there are some things that you can taste that you cannot hear. And there are some things that you can hear that you cannot see. And there are some things that you can see that you cannot touch. Amen? Now, if you limit it to just to eyes or visual perception, then you miss out on everything that you can hear, everything that you can smell, everything that you can taste, or everything that you can touch. I see the sun, but I cannot touch it. Am I right? I submit to you that the Holy Spirit is not talking about eyes. There is a better explanation for seeing. Instead of saying that faith is the evidence of things not seen, what if we say faith is the evidence or proof of things perceived by the senses? Now, really think with me for a moment. And here is where many people miss it when it comes to faith. But you know what? I'm just about out of time. But please join us next week where we continue our teaching on the meaning and the importance for faith. But until then, please remember these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. God bless you.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.